Hey guys, welcome to Mentally Chill. Do you get that title, Jeff? Do you understand that? Did you see the name of this podcast that you're doing right now?
Currently? No, I did not.
Okay. So
it's Mentally Chill.
Chill, but it's the ILL is in parentheses because it's be like mentally ill.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to be that literal, obviously, with mentally ill. We wanted to be a little creative.
But what does the ch part represent when you put the thing around the ill?
We didn't think that far into it.
Okay.
It means absolutely nothing. So I know you. So this is Jeff Garlin.
I'm Jeff Garlin.
This is Jeff Garlin. Curb Your Enthusiasm, obviously. I actually saw, you know what I saw?
What?
I Want Somebody to Eat Cheese With.
I
saw it in Chicago.
You did?
You premiered music, at Southport or something.
The Music Box.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is how I know your friend Craig.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story with your friend Craig that I met, this was about 11 years ago now or something. Like, that's so weird how long it was. But I was at O'Hare,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to take a cab back to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And this blonde guy with these, like, loafers
mm-hmm.
came up to me, and he's like, are you heading into the city or something? And I said, yeah. And he was like, do you want to split a cab? And to me, that was, like, so movie-ish at the time.
Because mm-hmm.
it's like, who splits cabs unless
mm-hmm.
you're in a movie?
Mm-hmm.
Rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, my first thought was, oh, God, I got to talk to this guy now for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That would have been my thought.
Yeah.
My thought would also have been, no.
Yeah.
And I would not have, even if I saw you and I was attracted to you, the odds of me doing that are nil. You'd be like, oh, the
it's
pretty
work.
Girl that I'll think about for the next half hour, but no way.
Right. The only reason I did is because I shouldn't use that in a past tense. I am broke. I was broke then as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I could save about $20 or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And I was like, oh, I guess it's worth the $20. If I had money, I would have never in a million years said yes. So we split a cab. And he was kind of, I think, right off the get-go, like a name dropper type.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my laptop, like in a little slippy thing right there on my lap. And he said, what do you do? And I said, I had just started trying to explore comedy. And I said something about comedy. And he said, oh, my friend, I went to high school with Jeff Garlin. And I was like, oh, my God. And more of like a fangirl at the time. I mean, I'm probably still a fangirl. But I had on my desktop on my computer was a picture of Larry.
Mm-hmm.
And so to prove to him that, like, I wasn't just going, oh, I really like that show. I was like, here. Obviously, I couldn't have just added this now.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed him a picture of Larry. And he was like, oh, Jeff's So he started using you as, like, a selling point for him.
Ah, yeah.
You know, he's like, well, Jeff's coming to town, and he's going to premiere his movie, I Want Somebody to Eat Cheese With. And he said, do you want to maybe try to go to the premiere or something? And I felt really flattered. And I was like, sure. And then he said, well, they might need, like, a seat fillers or something like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm a seat filler.
What?
But
seat fillers?
Right, but I didn't figure you would need seat fillers.
That's crazy, especially at the Music Box Theater. That serves no purpose.
Right. It's not like there's a TV, like, TV
or we're
crew.
Trying to create the illusion a lot of people want to see this movie.
Right.
And it actually, if I remember, was sold out in that big theater.
I don't think I ended up as a seat filler.
No, there was no seat
right,
fillers.
Right.
Leave it to him.
Right.
Oh, my
but
God.
But you know what that did to me emotionally? It, like, damaged me a little bit because I was so new to the, like, showbiz thing
mm-hmm.
that all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm an extra. And I think that, I mean, I hold on. That's part of, like, my mental, quote-unquote, illness or chillness is I hold on to a lot of stuff. So if someone
mm-hmm.
says one thing about me that makes me feel bad, it's for life.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuck with me. I was like, oh, God damn it. I'm a nobody.
Boy, you are really fucked up.
I am. I'm super fucked up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So so then Craig then after that kept calling. He called like once a week or something. And he kept saying, oh, Jeff's coming to town. Jeff's coming to town. And I'm like, dude, cool. Stop calling me. And then what was funny was my friend Jenna Friedman, very funny comedian, was doing a Hebe magazine storyteller show.
Right.
And you were on it as well.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't have to go through Craig to actually end up meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
We hung out at this diner with Hannibal, the comedian, Jenna, and I told you the story about Craig. But when I said, I know you're from friend Craig, your first reaction was, I'm sorry, in your yelling voice.
Right.
And
yeah, because he's always, I mean, I fixed him up on dates before, and one of them actually hit me. And she didn't
right.
hit me in, like, a what were you thinking? She was angry at me.
Right.
And I've never talked to that person again. Not because I was mad, just it was a complete fallout with that person. And I can't.
What would he do that was that
bad? Well, I said to him, I said, "Did you? What happened?" He said, "I don't know. I met her at this restaurant. She was with her friends. I was with my friends. It was very casual, and it didn't last long. I don't know." He wears puka beads, so I wonder.
He does?
Sometimes.
Well,
so
that says a lot about a person.
I don't know if he still does. But he's a sweet guy, you know, whatever.
When was last time you guys were in touch?
He came to actually the premiere of my movie Handsome in Chicago,
cool.
And also the Music Box. That's my favorite theater, and I premiere all my movies there. So I saw him there, and he's an old friend. He's a dear friend, but he's a character.
Yeah.
He is such a character. Like, all my friends who know him all have Craig stories. You know, so it's like, you know, in life you have Craig stories.
Yeah. Would you rather be like, I think someone like him, who's a character, is blissfully unaware.
He's blissfully unaware.
Would you rather be blissfully unaware or aware?
Oh, I'd rather be blissfully unaware and stupid as a rock.
Yeah.
Because when you're remotely intelligent, you feel more pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're aware of your
stupidity. If I'm an idiot in the Ozarks, I'm not saying everyone in the Ozarks, I used to vacation with my family in the Ozarks, but...
So you were at one point an idiot in the Ozarks.
No, we would go from Chicago to the Ozarks. I was a little kid. But the point being is, you know, if you don't know any better, I mean, I don't know if their life's more joyful or not. I think it is.
So you said, okay, so you said you think I'm messed up. Why? Yeah. What about me comes across messed up?
Well, just you were saying that, you know, anyone who makes a statement of we're all, I don't know what to
do. Oh, nobody's.
Nobody's, yeah. Whatever. It's like, what are you talking about?
I know, I'm
nobody's
a
nobody, and nobody's a somebody.
Yeah.
Everybody's everybody.
Yeah, I know. But I guess I was really picked on. And so I got this thing as a kid where I was like, once I get out of high school in this town, I am going to prove to everyone how much of a nobody I am not. Because they always tried to make, so it almost became this obsession or something.
Right. Do you go to therapy?
I do go to therapy.
Have you discussed this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because you have to sort of have an attitude with people of you work your side of the road, I'll work my side of the road, and we'll both do the best we can.
Right. Well,
and to me, resentments from childhood like that. You need
not
to
healthy.
Work through. No, it's not.
Not healthy.
But you're a sweet, I can tell you're very sweet.
I'm a nice person. That's a problem. I'm incredibly nice.
No, that's not a problem. See,
huge,
I feel like
huge
it's,
problem.
No.
My therapist actually schedules me in on her calendar as nobody. I think that's part of the problem.
What?
I'm kidding. Oh. She makes me. I would do that if I was a therapist. Just
but there is no problem with being too nice. You're either kind and thoughtful or you're not. You're kind and thoughtful,
yeah,
I can tell.
Much.
So stop it.
Yeah, but does that lead you into places like depression? Because I'm a
firm believer that depression, for the most part, is like being an alcoholic. It's like having cancer. It's just a disease. It's a thing that, I mean, I think it's like you're either can be depressed or not be depressed. I go to some really dark places, but I also know that the worst thing someone could say to me is don't be sad. No, I'm riding the wave of sadness.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like a tidal wave sometimes.
And logic has nothing to do with it. That's why you told me at the end I'm going to give a pep talk. Well, it's all good and fine to give a pep talk, but logic has nothing to do with depression. If it did, people would stop being depressed the second their problems are over. I can be on my greatest day of success. In life, even, I could be depressed.
Oh,
I don't know.
No, I know. The pep talk is really, actually goes against me.
Well, here's the thing, though. There are people that are depressed because of the way their life is going.
Right.
And that alone can change that. But there are some of us that have a propensity to be depressed.
Yeah.
So.
Did you ever have depression? I read on
your book. I have depression.
You have depression?
Yeah, of course.
You do?
Yeah, I fight it all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm so happy.
I fight, you know, I wake up some mornings with just a feeling of dread in my stomach.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was McDonald's. It wasn't.
What?
The McDonald's was the dread. It was just, I'm that's a dumb joke.
I didn't even get it. I apologize.
Well, my jokes are very heady, clearly. They just, really smart.
Yeah.
That in a way is a pep talk in itself because it's like, you know, you're successful, you have a lot going on.
Yeah.
And you're human.
Yeah.
So you feel sad.
Oh, my God, do I
feel
sad.
It's reassuring.
I'm empathetic and I feel sadness, you know?
Yeah. Do you take anything?
I take Lexapro.
You do?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, 10 milligrams. And I also meditated, transcendental meditation.
I read that on your Wikipedia, and I wanted to ask you about
By the way, lots of things, and please, if you're listening.
Are wrong.
No, they're wrong intentionally. Please go to my Wikipedia page. Type whatever you like. The more absurd, the better.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't care. That's just so, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. When did you start feeling depressed?
As a kid.
You take, how many milligrams do you take of
10.
Lexapro? Okay.
I was up to 20 at one point.
Yeah, the scale is...
At 10, and I aspire to be off it.
Side effects?
Sex drive.
Yeah.
Nothing else I notice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I've been taking Effexor. I've been really lucky. I went on Effexor about 5 years ago, and it's got some side effects, but it just generally helped. Like, I've never felt super, super, super low while taking this.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's
medium is good.
Exactly.
Highs and lows are difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I don't really ever get that high, and I don't get that high. I'm pretty even keeled.
Yeah.
So that way, even though I talk and I get excited, I get excited about things, but I'm passionate, you know? But I do go to dark places. I do get really, really depressed.
How long do the periods last when you get depressed?
It's generally, I have what my friend's boyfriend, my friend Andrea Siegel's boyfriend Brent, I think came up with this term, and it's what I get. I get night melancholy. And so if something legitimately as dark is happening to me at night, I can get really dark.
Yeah.
So normal situation, right. I'm very melancholy late at night. Throw in the life stuff, and I can get really dark at night. When I wake up in the morning, even the mornings where I have a sense of dread, which they're not even cyclical. They just happen when they happen. I'm generally much better during the day. I'm a good night person if I'm working. If I'm filming at night, if I'm doing stand-up at night, I'm delightful. But night seems to be when you're alone with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Really alone with yourself. Therefore, I get night melancholy.
Right. I get morning melancholy. My entire, even, like I said, Effexor's been good, but the mornings are still really hard for me. Before, I couldn't get out of bed. Now I can at least get out of bed.
Well, see, that's all you want to do is be able to get out of bed.
Exactly. The first psychiatrist I ever saw tried to tell me that I was bipolar. And I was like, I'm never happy enough to be bipolar. I'm either super sad or just, like, kind of sad. But that in the morning, I get so depressed in the morning because it's like I look at the day as a mountain and I hate hiking. You know, it's like...
Where did that come from?
No, I'm saying life's a mountain and I hate hiking.
No, I you said you hate hiking.
I do. I
had a friend recently
like
mentioned that I love napping.
I nap so much, it's insane.
Okay, so I love napping and I'm not a big fan of hiking at all.
Wow.
I like walking. Cool. Love walking, especially walking with a destination.
Yes.
Pro walking.
That's why I don't like hiking.
But I don't like hiking. I don't like to just walk.
Walking at an angle, really. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. That's why I don't enjoy the hike is because I always feel like I need to get somewhere. Something needs to be achieved by the end. And it's like, well, you can take pictures for Instagram. That's more like the end goal, I guess, for hiking, and it doesn't do it for me. I also, it's weird, I get this bug, it won't leave you alone.
It's actually something about my left ear, it's digging, it's not going near my right ear.
It is weird, yeah, there it is in your left ear.
I wish I was one of those people that are fast enough to grab it.
I know. You didn't get it.
I know, I just like pretending that I'm some sort of kung fu master.
Yeah. where does that skill come from, for someone who can grab?
I don't know. The same as a comedy.
Very animalistic.
People have their skills, and you can develop your skills.
It should be an Olympic sport. Fly grabbing.
Fly grabbing. Yeah, but yeah, you. I mean, whatever skill. People who are, you know, good at kung fu or any of that stuff. Some people are better than others.
Do people
actually
do kung fu? Is kung fu actually a thing?
That's a real thing. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's the same with comedy. There are people that are at such a higher level of natural talent, the higher than myself. And I know I have the natural talent, but much higher than myself. And I'm always so... See, I get inspired when I see somebody who's that much better than me.
So you're inspired by me right now?
But
so you're inspired by me right now?
I am inspired by you right now because you keep moving forward. Mm. You've lost your friend and coworker.
Yeah, it's been pretty terrible.
It's not been good in your life right now with other things.
Yeah.
And here you are in the morning, late morning, but in the morning.
For me, this is early morning.
Okay. But sitting and talking with me. You're telling adversity, hey, nice to see you, but I got things to do.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm doing because I know if I don't, then I'm just going to get really bad.
Well, then you go down the rabbit hole. You're going to get worse and worse.
So this is kind of like self-preservation. I just turn on autopilot and I'm just trying to move forward.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. Did you know anything about Stevie?
I read about her.
Yeah. She was awesome. She was genuinely the I hate to use the word coolest girl I've ever met, but she genuinely was just on every level cool. And I rarely connect with other girls. Like I just there's you know I always because I think I'm a bit of an old soul, and I think Stevie was too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what really made me comfortable with her. And so losing her is a huge, huge, huge loss. And I can't stop thinking about her. I don't think I have obsessive thoughts, but this is definitely
no, this is normal. You're grieving.
Yeah, yeah.
You're grieving. Yeah. You got to start giving yourself a break. You're overthinking all the things you do in your life. And like what you're saying is just grief, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that when someone dies, it's that, you know, every once in a while, they're, oh my God, they're dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When someone breaks up with you, same thing.
Yeah.
It's grieving.
Yeah.
You're grieving. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah. I've always been really hard on myself.
No kidding.
Yeah. You didn't see that?
No, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I
think no one was ever hard on me in terms of like my parents or my family. You know, it was like there were never any high standards and I always wanted someone to hold me to standards. So I think I started doing it to myself. I mean, I was held to standards.
Hold on a second. You're mistaking holding yourself to high standards to being kind to yourself.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
you're not kind to yourself.
Oh, no,
you
have terrible.
To be yeah, but that's the difference, man. It's like you need to be kind to yourself, and you can hold yourself. I hold myself to extremely high standards, but I'm not going to beat myself up. At least try not to. It's hard sometimes not to, but I try not to.
That's good.
Yeah.
I need to start trying not to. I think I get so lost in the thoughts that I forget I can even try to fight it.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It sucks. It's exhausting. And I definitely think I'm going to get wrinkly earlier because of
all the stress
thoughts.
What the hell are you doing?
I mean, that's the way I think. Everything piles. I overanalyze, and then everything piles up.
I mean, to be thinking about your wrinkles at your age. You have a beautiful face.
Why, thank you.
Please enjoy it. Please enjoy it.
I'm trying, but I can't.
Well, just look in the mirror and go, hey, man. You know, it's not that stupid Stuart Smalley shit. You're okay.
I love Stuart Smalley.
I know, and that movie is actually better than anyone ever thinks. My friend who passed away, Harold Ramis, did that movie, and he's pretty spectacular, and I liked that movie. But anyhow,
it's
the
so
point
cool you
being,
were friends with him.
The important thing is that you just gotta. You know what I do every morning? I swear I do this, and it's dumb. But it's wonderful. When I go to the bathroom first thing in the morning, I go look in the mirror and I smile at myself.
Wow.
And that sets a tone for the day of like, all right, I'm...
Is this before the pee or after the pee?
I don't even pay attention.
Okay.
It could be either one. Depends on how bad I have to pee. It's not. But I smile at myself and then I laugh because it's so absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom diggity, the day is full of possibilities.
All right. Well, right there, I'll show you even more how messed up I am. I wouldn't want to smile on myself in the mirror because I hate my gums when I smile. And that would be my first thought.
Can I just say something? Looking at your mouth.
You have very nice teeth, by the way.
Thank you. But I'm looking at your gums and your teeth, and they're lovely.
They're big.
No, they're not.
When I really
let
loose
and laugh.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how you're going
to. When I'm watching you guys on Curtis.
How do you survive day to day?
I barely do.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know. This
I'm
is
so
why
sorry.
Jenna's always worried about me.
Well, she's right to be worried about you.
Yeah.
Please, whenever you want. Text me and you can come over and I'll give you a hug.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah, I just, that's a lot of pain.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm actually going home. I'm from upstate New York and I'm going home August and September for the full 2 months because I just need a break.
Are you excited about it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get excited about much.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am because my mom's an amazing cook.
Okay, great.
And unfortunately, though, not Jewish.
You dig your mom?
I love my mom to death.
So that's great. And you're with your mom.
My dad, I'm sorry to do this, but my dad is like my own Larry. He's very much like Larry David.
Oh, he's a curmudgeon and sort of says what he thinks.
He's not as curmudgeon-y as Larry, but he's kind of doesn't get hobbies. You know, he doesn't get like.
Yeah, he's got these things. Yeah.
Yeah. Like people doing anything fun is absurd to him. Mm-hmm.
Your brothers and sisters?
Yeah. I have one brother and one sister.
Are you close with them?
Very close, yeah.
This is great. Look at you.
I have the best family. That's okay, the problem.
Okay, but that's all anybody can... I mean, by the way, in life, to have a close family, that's delightful.
I know.
You should be smiling about granted. That all the time.
I know. I got an adorable niece.
Look She's at you gorgeous. In your bikini.
She looks like Jennifer Lawrence as like a 3-year-old. I'm going to totally ride her coattails when she gets to Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be really old, but I'll still ride them.
Again. Again, really
it's
old.
Darkness. It's
I'm 55. I feel more vibrant and younger than I did in my 20s.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That gives me hope. But I can't believe you were 37 when you started Curb. Was that, were you that
Yeah,
young?
36, 37,
I
yeah.
can't believe it was that long ago that yeah. Curb started.
Yeah, 1999.
That's crazy.
18 years ago.
First year I started driving.
Uh-huh.
I'm such a good driver, though. That's uh-huh. one thing I give myself credit for. I could be, but then I'll discredit it, because I could be the most badass New York cabbie. Because I drive, I'm so smooth, and I'm fast, and I'm like zip around, and I'm tough in the car. But then outside of that, but the reason I look at it badly is because, like, well, who wants to be a New York cabbie? Like, I wish I could have been like, oh, yeah, I would have been the most badass doctor. But instead, I'm like, oh, I could be a badass cabbie.
You're even criticizing your little...
My skills, my little...
Nuances of life, you know?
Yeah.
Why did I pick cabbie? Could have been a doctor in my fantasy.
Right.
That's nuts. Well,
that's a smart person. And I'm like, oh, I'm not smart.
Stop with the smart person. If you're not a smart person, why do you have a show? Who the hell wants to listen to you talk if you're not smart?
Because anyone can have a podcast.
But that doesn't justify it. That's like anyone can have a pizza place, even if the pizza's crappy.
Well, my dad's pizzeria closed, so my podcast will soon be closing down. Well, closing shop.
It's your business. I have a feeling you have more confidence than that.
What's weird is I kind of from afar know I'm not the worst. So that's why I continue moving forward.
Oh, dear God. If I kept going because I knew I wasn't the worst comedian, that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, that feels good to me to feel like I'm not the worst. That's how low my standards are. But someone, I think, wrote to me on Twitter something about transgender something, and I'm not going to get into transgender talk, but I will say this, just because you're here, and my whole life, or not my whole life, well, most of my life, I felt more like I understand transgender people because I think I was born in the wrong body. I should have been like a 60-year-old man from birth because I feel curmudgeon-y.
Oh, dear God. This makes no sense whatsoever. You understand that people don't transition because they feel like a 60-year-old man. They feel like a man. So if you feel
like
a man.
I'm saying this is the way I understand transgenders, because I really like when I do stand up, because I do stand up. And when I do it, I feel like I'm in the wrong body doing stand up. I'm in the absolute wrong body because I'm not standing there as like a
girl. You need to start embracing who you are. This is killing me.
Never. Never.
No, you got to do it. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I do it.
Do you go to therapy?
Yeah. I had a great session yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you normally talk about? Does it change week to week, or is it one consistent theme?
No, there's themes, but, you know, it's just, look, my goal is to be wise and humble and confident and kind. And so, as a kind, I'm already kind and loving. But wise, humble, not have ego. I mean,
you seem like you're all of those very much so.
Well, I think to a degree I am, but I'm always striving to get better at it. So I just talk about what I'm experiencing and my feelings about it.
Do you ever cry in therapy?
I have never cried in therapy.
Oh, wow.
But also right now, prior to taking Lexapro also, that's one of the other negatives. It's like I lose some of my sex drive. I still have enough of a sex drive, but...
All the ladies out there.
Yeah, all the ladies. when you take Lexapro, it's very difficult to cry. It sort of takes that away. Yeah. And prior to Lexapro, my entire life, big crier. Cry when the wind would change.
Love crying, right?
But cry happy.
Yeah.
Cry sad. Cry in between. And I miss it. Yeah. It's really, you know, I had a friend who I was with, and she, you know, her boyfriend suddenly broke up with her, and she's been doing a lot of crying, and I told her how jealous I was, because she's like, I wish I could stop crying. I go, no.
Yeah.
It's such a relief to cry. But I've never... You know, the thing is, I don't have any dark secrets, either from people around me or me. Yeah. So therefore, there's nothing in therapy that would bring me to that place.
Right, right.
Maybe, you know, years ago, I don't know.
How long have you been on Lexapro?
What I did was I was writing a book. My father was dying, and I went off sugar.
And bad combo.
And being a compulsive overeater, I didn't have... The sugar was my way of coping.
Yeah.
So then I learned transcendental meditation, and I went on Lexapro, and I've been fighting the fight ever since.
And how long ago was that?
That was... 5 years or 6 years.
So you haven't cried in roughly like 5 years?
I have a couple times. Okay. It just happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Cubs winning the World Series. I cried.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah. You had a happy cry.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The happy cry is something that when I'm not feeling it, I can't imagine ever being able to happy cry. But then when it happens, it's
yeah. And things that are tragic can make me weepy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, what happened with the Stevie with me, which was weird, this is, I think, a typical grieving process, but the first, I think, like 3 days, I was very emotional, and I cried every day.
Why wouldn't you?
Because I'm a cold-hearted bitch. Just kidding. I'm not. Okay. I cried so hard for those first couple of days, and now it's so weird. I feel like I can never cry again. It's very strange. Like, I almost think my brain went into some sort of protection mode, and I can't right now.
I think the number one question you should ask your therapist, because I think that you need to consider things and you need to examine things, but I think you think too much. When I say
think too much.
You think about these little things of, it's almost like you're narrating your actions and you have a movie playing of what's going to be. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I'm never going to cry again. I feel like I'm never. It's like,
I
you
do
know,
fortune telling.
Do you really though?
Well, no. No, I'm not a psychic who takes money for fortunes. No, Neil Brennan, when he was just on the show, was talking about cognitive behavioral therapy, which is basically outlines all of these ways of thinking, and one of the ways of thinking is fortune telling, where you think you know the future.
Yeah, that's
and that's what I do. So I say this, and I blanket statement, and I'm so lost in the fact that that is reality. I'm convinced that no one could tell me different until different happens, and then I believe it. But I will say, for example, and I probably shouldn't tell this again because this was. I'm gonna wait for that plane. This is a good therapy session. Because I actually skipped therapy yesterday.
Oh, I would never do that.
I know, I shouldn't have.
Because for me, therapy is wonderful and joyous.
Well, you know, I didn't.
I have two therapists. I actually have three.
The joy of having money.
Well, I have a therapist in New York that I had when I was there, and I've kept that therapist. I have a therapist here, and I have a psychiatrist who prescribes my Lexapro, who I talk to once every couple months.
The three of them should get together and just talk shit about you. Talk mad shit.
There is no shit.
Did Jeff talk to you that one time about this? What a baby. So, okay. I also read that you have ADHD.
Yes.
Is that real?
Yes.
And are you taking anything for that?
No.
Does that affect you?
Yes.
What do you try?
I get restless. I can focus on... what helps is pot. Like, if I take indica, I can read for hours and not have any problems.
Yeah.
But in general, I'm good for reading, like, 15, 20 minutes tops. You told me I'm patient, and I get told that a lot, and I feel I am patient. And therefore, I lost my track of the train of thought.
Very typical of your ADD self.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes, it can be very difficult, yes.
Yeah. One doctor told me that I was ADD, and I think I probably am, but I don't think it affects me so much that I really need to...
Well, I have impulsivity problems.
Ah.
It's better for me to think about things for a day, because here's the thing, I really trust my gut, and I don't have a lot of regrets.
That's good.
So it's worked for me. But on the flip side, I'm so impulsive, I will buy something I don't need, where if I wait a day, I'll go, nope, don't need that,
mm-hmm.
Or even eating. I just need to take a minute to just chill, and then I can make the right choice.
When you get impulsive to do something like buy something or eat something, do you feel anxious around it?
Yes, very anxious.
I have that feeling.
Anxiety is also a big problem for me, yeah.
Does your Lexapro help the anxiety?
It does, yes, yes, and so does meditating. But it's still going to pop its head.
It also says, I'm living and dying right now by your Wikipedia. It says you do it twice a day on there.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, 20 okay. minutes twice a day, morning, afternoon.
You do it?
Yeah.
And do you find... I've never been able to get into meditation because I feel too anxious to do meditation.
Uh-huh.
The idea of it, it's too much. I'm like, it makes me anxious. It makes me more anxious thinking about doing it than I am just in my homeostasis.
Well,
anxious.
it takes a lot of discipline to meditate, especially in the afternoon when you have a lot of things to do.
Right, right. Because you're thinking, I got to get to this, I got to get to that.
Yes, and I got to get this done. So, yes. Yeah.
I don't want to be interviewee, but so the new season of Curb is coming out?
Yes.
And I heard you...
On October 1st.
Okay. All right. So we have a little wait. So you said in a little interview thing I saw that the storyline is people are going to be like, I can't believe they did that.
Yes.
I can't imagine what it is because you guys already did The Blacks, and I feel like that would be one where they go, can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
So is it like along politically incorrect lines or the like sexual lines? Or
one of the reasons the show is so popular is because the show is completely politically incorrect.
Right,
It's 100% politically incorrect.
That's why it's my favorite.
There are no thoughts as to, we'll be offending someone.
Right, good.
By the way, I don't care. Here's the thing. We're not remotely mean-spirited.
Of course, yeah.
So if we're not mean-spirited and we're not cheap, I think everything's a target.
Yeah.
And we've really touched on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see. I'm just really curious what it's going to be.
Yeah.
What it could possibly be. Well, my depression will be cured when October rolls around. Because I get to watch New Curb.
By the way, you say that. And I feel like my job is to ease people's pain. I look at that as my job.
It's a hard job.
Yeah, it's a very hard job. So when people say I'm just a comedian, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly brain surgeons and, all the people that we need, but we also need artists and we need comedians because my job is for that half hour that you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm helping to ease your pain. When you come to see me do stand-up and I do an hour of stand-up, I hope for that hour I'm easing your pain.
What percentage of doing comedy for you is selfish versus giving?
Zero is selfish.
Really?
Because it's joyful for me to help people ease their pain. When I'm doing well, I just find it joyful.
See, I think my comedy causes pain.
But it's not ego does not drive me.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I'm very ego driven.
Yeah.
Because people will say, it's so great that you if you get to make someone laugh, that must make you feel good. I'm like, I'm glad they laugh because it makes me feel good.
No, I'm not thinking in
that.
The moment, look at the joy I'm bringing.
Right.
But I'm just feeling the joy.
Right.
So it's not, yeah.
Yeah. You're Jewish living with a Christmas spirit all the time. How's that for a Jew joke?
I guess. I don't
think, sounds very Christmassy.
But here's the thing. I don't think every day I have dark hair. I don't think I'm Jewish. I've worked. It's like when I work on the Goldbergs, I have to memorize lines. Once I'm done with the scene, I've forgotten all the lines.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you that.
It's almost like my head's empty. So I strive to only have things of depth and worth in my head and dealing with. And the minutiae of day-to-day living, I can notice things and make them funny. But in general, I don't beat myself up for that. I don't say this or that. I mean, I'm just not filling my mind with stuff.
That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Because you have more space for filling it with book stuff. With what
well,
you're
not
reading.
Books, like, but if I just have more, it's just I'm calmer and it's more enjoyable.
It's more peaceful.
Much more peaceful. I'm all about the peace.
Do you enjoy doing more of the improvising like on Curb or the Goldberg stuff where you're memorizing?
I enjoy doing the improvising on Curb.
Do you ever get nervous that never. You're not going to come up with something?
No, I never think about that.
Really?
Never, no.
That's what I do.
Improv. It's what I'm good at.
I know.
I'm confident.
Yeah, you are.
I don't go in cocky saying, oh, I'm going to be great. But I go in going, I know what I'm doing. Let's go.
Right.
Let's see where it takes us. And there's some days where I am really that funny. And other days I'm not so great, but I know what I'm doing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I took an improv class a long time ago. As a comedian, you should be taking improv classes, but I get so much anxiety surrounding improv.
You could be taking improv classes. You not should, because a lot of improv teachers are terrible.
Well, yeah, no, I've,
so
and
don't
I've
say
seen
should.
A lot of that.
You could.
Well, you could, and I did, and it's the yes and thing, where you know, but I'm so much more of a no but type of person, because a lot of these scenarios
well, that
would come up.
Things.
Right, because it'd be some ridiculous scenario that was like, we're in outer space.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, we're not in outer
space. We're in an ice cream shop on Mars. It's like,
yeah, I
you
hate
can
that
easily,
shit.
But you know, but what
it's
you
too
can,
ludicrous.
But by the way, what you could do, say that, it's pretty much starting a scene, you say that.
Oh man, this ice cream on Mars is melting really quickly.
This is so ludicrous. So ludicrous. That here we are, two astronauts, and you want to play act every day that there's an ice cream shop here.
See, yeah, how you could...
But even then, fuck them for saying there's an ice cream shop on Mars.
Exactly. And
no,
like,
I know.
Because I was in Improv 101, and so it was a bunch of dummies. I mean, not everyone, me included.
No, but most beginning improv people, there's a lot of dead weight there. No, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I was like, that's really
dumb. But that's not exploring and heightening in terms of it's not your... By the way, one of the key things in life is to spend time with and work with people that are better than you.
That's why I'm here today.
Well, you're very nice to say that. And I'm learning things from you, so don't, you know. But when you're in a beginning class like that, and I went through those, and you see people, you just go, wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, you make your way through it. That's all. But also, I think that the opposite of that, what you could do if someone says they're in an ice cream shop on Mars, is dive into it in such a big way to where you're almost punching them in the face with their stupid idea.
Right.
That's what I've done before.
And then it becomes really funny.
Yes. So there you go. Yeah. Another way of looking at it.
Yeah, that would have been a great way to look at it. Instead, I quit. I was like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, well, that happens.
Well, speaking of fuck that shit, so we do a segment called F That Shit.
Okay.
And we just kind of talked
so
about
So we're into the
news.
Segments now.
We're into the segments.
How much longer do we have?
About 10 minutes.
Oh, great.
Is that okay?
Fantastic.
Okay, cool. So.
And by the way, I said, oh, great, because I have a lot of things to do.
I know.
Not because
I assume you have other things to do.
But I'm enjoying myself with you.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I have tons of other things to do as well. I have a TV show to go tape.
All
I'm very busy.
All right.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I didn't. What are you doing to me?
I'm going to go home and stare at my, and probably go take a nap. Actually, I want to do who's sadder first.
Okay, whatever you want.
So some examples of who's sadder.
No, I don't want to do it. Just get
okay,
into it.
All right. So this one's random because it's not two specific people. It's one random or one specific person, one general person.
Okay.
Okay. So who's sadder, Janice Dickinson?
Uh huh.
Or someone in a wheelchair?
Janice Dickinson daily.
I agree.
It's way more sad.
I agree.
She's had. She was a top model.
Right.
She's had a lot of face work.
Right.
A lot of adventures with Bill Cosby, too, supposedly.
Yeah.
Point being is I feel like that she's a tortured person.
Me, too.
And I don't know necessarily if it's from being, I'm sure that is part of it being famous and not being famous anymore. But people in a wheelchair can vary.
Yeah.
You don't know. You just gave a general thing. You don't
well,
have to give
right,
someone specific.
I gave general.
Go to the next one.
Okay. Well, that's it for who's sadder.
Oh, okay.
We only do one person.
Okay, great.
Or one coupling.
And I'm sorry, Janice Dickinson, if you're very healthy and happy, my fault.
I'm sorry if you're listening to this podcast. That's
what?
To Janice. Things
Why?
Aren't going well if she's listening to the this podcast.
People who are going well and they're listening to this podcast, why would you just make a blanket
statement?
Well, want
to hear something super fucked up.
Yeah.
The thing with Stevie. I'm like, of course, when she starts working with me, then she commits suicide. That's, and how fucked up is that?
You're good. Trust me.
But I'm like, her life was probably getting to a point where she was like, shit's going wrong, and that's why she was involved with me. That's how
fucked up. Don't put logic on someone killing themselves. There is no logic.
Yeah.
There's only whatever. You know, the thing about killing yourself, and look, I've had suicidal thoughts in my life before, is just like eating the wrong thing, doing the impulsive wrong thing. You just have to remember that it's feelings and it's going to go away.
Right.
That's the thing.
How do you remember that it's feelings, though?
You have to remind yourself.
Yeah.
You have to go. I mean, you have to be present enough in your own life. This is important stuff to think about.
Yeah.
Being present enough in your own life that you say, hey, these are feelings. They're horrible feelings. They're dark feelings. I feel so worthless and hopeless. But know that it's temporary. And know that there's a great chance it'll come back again. Because it's like riding, it's like surfing, man. It's like a wave. You know, you don't know. You go up and down, up and down. That's life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what cheers me up is the Frank Sinatra song, That's Life.
It's a great song.
Love that song.
Yeah.
It really does. It puts things in perspective because I realize, because it just talks about basically how temporary things are.
Yeah.
Because at one point you're a pauper, the next minute you're a poet. I could sing the whole song if you wanted me to.
No, it's yeah, it's a wonderful song. I'm a fan.
It's a great song. Have you dealt with suicide? Have you been close to it? This is the first time I was close to it.
I can't remember offhand.
Yeah.
I'm sure later I'll be like, oh yeah, but
it never played a huge, huge role where someone super close to you.
That's not true. I don't know. Okay. I'm feeling like yes is the answer, but I can't think of it right now. I really do empty my mind.
I guess so. Yeah. As soon as I leave, I hope you hold on to a few things, though.
Yeah.
Remember my awesomeness.
You're a big ball of awesome. You are.
Thank you.
You're full of potential.
I know. Got to tap into that. How do you tap into potential?
I just keep moving forward and do my thing, man. That's it.
Yeah. Man.
I'm not in control of how my potential plays out. I'm only in control of me doing things to have my potential play out.
Right. So what do you do to have things to have your potential play out?
I write, I perform, I walk, I talk, I just do, I live.
Right. Tell me about writing.
What about writing?
Like, how do you, I'm writing my second screenplay.
Uh-huh.
And I'm stuck. So what do you do?
Shouldn't be stuck.
I'm not super stuck. I'm procrastinating.
Here's the thing.
I don't know what
the
I want to do.
The way I write
next is
I write longhand. First off, my stand-up, I improvise everything on stage.
Yeah,
ideas,
that's crazy.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I record it, and hopefully some of it will turn into material someday. But in terms of writing, I sit with a pad. And I'm talking about screenplays.
Yeah.
Or books. I write longhand. And I don't edit before I... You know, I just write and write and write. And I even write stuff that I think, this is not going to be good. I'm just going to keep writing and writing. And then when I'm done, I go back. I pay someone, if I have an assistant at the time or whatever, to put it into final draft.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then when it's in final draft, all right, sorry. Okay. The plane, I know. We're in my backyard. Not that many planes, by the way, I'm noticing.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not that bad. You know, in an hour, what, three times? That's not bad. All right, so anyhow, so then once it's in final draft, then I do the heavy editing. And I can go through it and nitpick. And I do use a computer at that point.
Okay. Are you kind of computer illiterate? Or are you just
I'm good. But I do type with one finger.
Love that. So old school. It's vintage.
I also love typewriters.
They're the best. I'm from, actually... The town where I'm from, I think, made the first typewriter.
Oh, how about that?
I'm from Ilion, New York, which is Remington, Remington
yeah.
Arms is, and that's where the first typewriter was made.
Now, as I said, three an hour, but that sounds like a small plane.
This is a Cessna 484.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I don't know anything about planes.
You said that very believable.
I did, thank you.
But anyhow, yeah, so, but I would never type a screenplay on a typewriter.
So you write
I would write a personal essay on a typewriter.
So how does your assistant turn it into?
Like, I hand her the pages.
Right, but so
and I don't I don't write cursive. I write print.
Thank God.
Well, I'm pro
cursive.
Do you
think you could write cursive if you had to sit down?
Yes.
When I was in college, I got to a point where I was like, oh, well, I don't have to write cursive anymore. And then I almost felt like I forgot how to write cursive.
I don't know. There's a flair to it. And certainly when you sign your name, you're writing cursive.
I am.
I don't know. I don't think about that too much. I know that I don't think they teach cursive anymore.
When you give an autograph, do you do the full name or do you do a cocky scribble? There's the cocky scribble of like, I'm a celebrity and here's just a line.
Oh, no, I write.
You write it out?
I write a note.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I write something personal
to everyone.
I don't just, by the way, if someone's annoyed me or I am in a rush, and by the way, those are both equally rare, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow.
I will write a thoughts.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
I never approach anyone, but when I first moved here, I saw Dustin Hoffman. Uh-huh. And I was on the phone with my dad as I saw Dustin Hoffman, and my dad loves him. And so my dad goes, go ask him for an autograph. And I was like, Dad. And he's like, go do it. And so my dad asked him to make it out to whom it may concern.
Uh-huh.
And so Dustin Hoffman wrote, to whom it may concern,
Dustin Hoffman.
So it's a pretty cute little
That's nice that
autograph.
He did that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was sweet.
Are you okay being in the sun right now for a few minutes?
I'm actually worried about my wrinkles. I'm like, I'm kidding. Oh. I'm fine in the sun.
Because I'm seeing it on your face.
Well,
you're really a beautiful woman, by the way. You should enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm really
again. Oh dear God!
I've had to do a lot of getting to this point to be. I grew up with frizzy hair.
Next thing.
So what do you think? So F debt. Should we talk about like things and mental health and stuff? And
yeah,
I really didn't really know what to do. I mean, there's not tons of news on and stuff, but a study came out, which seems like pretty obvious, where more kids who were spanked develop more mental health problems. What do you think about spankings?
Well, I don't. I might have been spanked once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
My dad used to snap his belt and we'd run.
I know that sound. I mean, yeah. My parents would do it as a joke.
I never did it. Well, my dad did it like, oh, this is going to happen. It never happened.
Yeah.
And then my children, who are now 17 and 21, do not remember me spanking them. I spanked them once.
Wow.
They were both misbehaving. They were probably 7 and 4, you know, and I didn't spank them hard.
Yeah.
But I did hit their tushes, you know.
Yeah.
And they cried. And I immediately went to my wife.
Feels weird.
Who is this helping?
Right.
How is this positive?
Right.
And so I never did again. I think if I were to, I would think that if you're spanked repeatedly, that's abuse.
Right. And this article didn't specify.
Well, it's a stupid article.
Because I was spanked. I mean, I was spanked probably once, and I barely remember it.
Were you spanked recently?
No. I'm not that fun.
By the way, you know, you see porn, and like the woman will be spanked. She'll be so fucking happy. And I thought, is that acting?
It's acting.
Yeah. Well, who wants to be spanked?
Nobody.
By the way, I've talked to some women who like the throat grab.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that as well.
Which is like, I'm like, because watching it does not turn me on.
Right.
Watching the throat grab, I'm like, what the fuck? But I guess that's a thought process in a woman wanting to be dominated. It's why the success of that stupid movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And those books.
Gray.
Yeah.
50 Shades.
Yeah.
There's a really funny comic. He's from New York. His name's Drew Michael. But he does a funny bit on choking. He says there's nothing creepier than a timid choke. Like, you either really have to go for it and commit, or you can't just, like, sneak up and, like, be like, is this okay? And kind of go in with the hand. You know, you have to really commit to the choke. But I like that bit.
Oh, dear God.
usually I get a little more in depth, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
So I think the pep talk, I don't love the idea. But if you want to.
No, we can talk about it.
The thing is,
I think I've already said some things when I said.
You have, yeah.
When I said there's no logic to depression.
Yeah.
You can't logic yourself out of it.
Yeah.
If you could, that would be delightful. Yeah. You just have to be at peace that you're in a dark place and it's temporary. Whether it's a week, whether it's a month, whether it's a day. It'll go away, and it might come back. It probably will come back. It's like happiness and sadness. There's, like, people say, are you happy? In the moment, you can be happy.
Right.
For the next half hour, you're like, wow. But I don't look at it that way for myself. I just try. I think if you release ego from yourself and try and find joy and be humble. You can be humble and be confident. You can know you have a skill, but don't have an attitude of like, I'm great. But you can have an attitude of, I'm great, you know? These are all sweet things, but I really just, I resent the fact that anyone thinks you can be logicked out of it. And the only thing is that there is hope. And even though it's hard to keep up the fight, because that's what, to me, living is the fight.
Yeah.
People say you're living. It's like the fight. It's like, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. And boy, it gets exhausting. When it does, take a nap.
Yeah.
And then get up and fight some more. And then, you know, hopefully you can find a good therapist, a good social worker, a good friend. And the worst possible thing is to not talk about the stuff.
Yeah.
Not release it. And yeah. I recommend Transcendental Meditation because it's effortless and it's thoughtful and it's not a religion.
The difference with that versus mindful meditation is like you don't have thoughts when you do trans.
No, you do.
Oh, you do.
And okay. You go off on them. But once you realize you're going off on thoughts of what you got to do today or what somebody said to you, you come back to your mantra. Okay. So that's why it's effortless. It's like, oh, I'm going, and then you go back to your okay. mantra. But you're going to go away again. You go back and forth.
And
it's
you can't get mad at yourself for going away. It's whole.
There
all
is
part
no
of the
getting
process.
Mad at yourself. And by the way, I'm going to leave with this. This is my last thing, because I'm hearing it. So I'm 55 years old, and I said I aspire to be a wise man. The only thing that I've learned of real depth in my 55 years is how many years I wasted not being kind to myself. Mm-hmm. Being kind to yourself. The world is tough enough as it is without having you as your own critic
yeah.
and your own assassin. So that's why I smile at myself every day. And by the way, later in the day, I can be disappointed. I can have momentary regret about this or that. So you're human when you do this. However, holy shit. You gotta be kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the key to the whole thing. So, and that's what I try and do. I aspire to that. You're gonna fail and fail miserably at it, but you're also gonna be much more successful as a person if you can do that.
Yeah. I think for me, the first step is to be mindful of it. To be,
sure,
to be
but,
aware of it. A lot of the time, I'm not even aware that's what I'm doing.
Well, you're not aware, but that's all you're doing. You don't really no. even need to be
so
aware.
So basically, I'm aware of nothing.
You're aware right. of not. You're right. aware of. You're not aware of your constant existence
like,
during
the
day.
How can you not be aware of that?
So you have to. Yeah. Well, thank
guy
you. I'm
it.
Ending this.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
No, because Larry David and I were at Largo the other night, and
will you text me when you go there, please, or
well,
something?
Go to their website. I'm there every month. I'm there next August 21st.
Well, with Larry, I.
Yeah. Well, that's it's a last minute thing usually.
Yeah.
But he'll just say to me on stage, oh, okay, we're good. And I'm going to say to you, we're good. That
okay,
was
good.
Delightful, though.
Thank
and you.
You
are delightful.
Thank you. This is wonderful.
And please think that you are delightful.
Thanks. I'll All let right. Jenna know that you told me that.
Yeah, please do.
Because she will agree.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Please make sure to rate and comment. And by rate and comment, I mean give us 5 stars and a really good compliment. And it's weird because I'm saying us. It's just me. This is weird, and I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. But it is just me now. So anyway, give me a good rating, I guess I should say. And also share this with a friend. They will love you. More importantly, I will love you. And lastly, if you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, my name on Twitter is @KristenCarney, KristenCarney. And for Instagram, it's KristenCarn. Same for Snapchat, Chris Carn. So be sure to listen every Thursday, and I will see you next time. Later.